May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
Oh, we will read together from God's holy word, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 26. Verse 26. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed for ever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbours and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "No, not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marvelled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all of the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us.
Hymn number 1006. Buried in shadows of the night, we lie till Christ restores the light. Wisdom descends to heal the blind and chase the darkness of the mind. Hymn 1006.
Thank you.
Lord, help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we are favoured once more to gather in thy house. Thou seest, Lord, a group of poor, needy sinners before thee. We would seek that mercy through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that thou wilt look down upon us in love and mercy this day. And Lord, we pray that each one of us may know and feel that we are poor and needy sinners. For we are each in that state before thee. And some of us feel it and know it, and some don't. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to reveal to us each our sins, our faults and failings. Strip us of any self-righteousness, and Lord, may we be found in that state of mind, my best is stained and dyed with sin, and my all is nothing worth, convinced of our sins. Oh, but we thank thee, dear Lord, that thou dost not leave thy work unfinished, and convinced sinners must be led to the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope and their only plea. Oh, that work of grace, Lord, we seek it to be known and felt and seen in each soul gathered here this day, and those connected with us, those we know and love. We plead for mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God of mercy. We read that with God there is nothing impossible. Oh, Lord, then give us that boldness to come before thee, before that throne of grace, that we may come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy. Oh, that we may be given boldness, not in anything that we have, or any presumption, but that boldness knowing that thou cannot turn away poor beggars from thy door. Oh, that boldness then to come by thy grace, by thy favour, by and in that new and living way, the blood of Jesus Christ marking out that way into the holiest of holies. We come, dear Lord, seeking acceptance in thy beloved Son and seeking pardon and forgiveness of our many, many sins, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So do have mercy, dear Lord, upon us. We thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies shown to us thus far. We've been brought safely into thy house. We have thy word. And, O Lord, we thank thee for these mercies. We meet undisturbed from the world. We meet without fear of outward persecution. And, O Lord, we thank thee for this great blessing, that even in this dark and evil day, we can meet publicly around thy word. Oh, but, O Lord, we seek more, that thou wilt meet with us, that thou wilt be one in our midst, that thou, Lord, grant us a sense of it in our hearts this day, that our hearts may be burning within us, and as we leave thy house this day, oh, that it may be said it has been good for us to be here, and only thou canst do us real good. So do seal thy word into our hearts. Do speak to us, Lord, we pray. Do reveal thyself. May we hear thy voice, see thy face. Oh, we would see Jesus. Oh, may there be those there here this day with that desire. Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, Lord, do send none empty away. May there be a handful of purpose. May there be those gleanings in thy field. May there be gleaners here this day, seeking a portion, coming up to the house of the God, house of God, hungry and thirsting after thee, in need. Oh, with that desire that, oh, that we may find grace in thy sight. Though we might not be like unto one of thine handmaidens, yet venturing on thy word, seeking a portion, something to take home, something to feed on, something to beat out in the coming days. Lord, do feed us then with that bread of life. Lead us beside the still waters. Lead us to that fountain of living water. Oh, that we may taste redeeming love and blood this day. Then, Lord, do come and grant us thy special favour. Remember us, O Lord, with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people, and visit us with thy salvation. A sense of it, Lord, for the first time, or fresh tokens of it, confirming our evidences. Lord, thou knowest our need. Thou knowest the needs of each of the souls here this day. And there are providential needs, Lord. And there are those needs of our souls, spiritual needs. Lord, do meet each case. May thy word be suited and applied by thy Spirit. May we know the application of it. May it be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May it find an abiding place in our hearts. Oh, may it be sealed in. For blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Well, then keep our souls alive. Keep us by thy grace. Oh Lord, we pray for any who may come up to the house of the Lord out of duty or routine, who may feel nothing toward thee, unconcerned and unmoved. Oh Lord, may this be the hour. Oh, may this be the day. Oh, do send out those arrows that are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby they fall under thee. Bring them to thy feet, we humbly pray, with weeping and with supplications. Lord, do have mercy, we pray. And be with any with difficult things in their pathways. Troubles, perplexities, hard things, things that are not easy to understand, puzzling circumstances. For Lord, thou dost often move in mysterious ways, ways in which we cannot see thee working yet. Oh, we pray that we may be given faith to truly believe that not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And our disappointments are thy appointments, and we don't know the end of the thing from the beginning. Oh, but we look to thee. Thou art the interpreter. Oh, may thy purposes be made known to us, and do sanctify those things we pass through. Teach us guide us and keep us. And, O Lord, we pray that we may each be given that spirit of submission and humility. Oh, that thy grace may be upon us each. Oh, that we may know thy spirit leading and working in our hearts. May there be that union and communion one with another. May the church and people here know thy special influence. Pray, Lord, that thou lead them in all the unknown way. May they live and dwell together in unity and in the bond of peace, esteeming other better than themselves. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep Satan out from the church, out from our hearts, out of this place this day. Oh, then, Lord, do drive him out. Thoughts of next week, thoughts of last week. Lord, we do pray that thou cleanse the temple of our hearts. Take away our idols. Oh, we think of that word, little children. My children, keep yourselves from idols. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may be kept by thy grace. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou make thyself the one thing needful to us each. And make thyself precious. Oh, that the things of this life may lose their attraction. So, Lord, do come and fill our hearts with that love of Jesus Christ. Oh, that love that constrains and compels. Oh, that love that draws us to thyself. Oh, we pray to be drawn by thy Spirit in our affections, in our desires. Lord, we pray that thou'd have mercy upon us. Be with any with hard things. Lord, mountains before them. Each heart knows its own bitterness. Oh, may we all, each one of us, be led to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. So do have mercy now as we turn to thy word, and pardon and forgive our many, many sins. Wash us in the Redeemer's blood, and fit and prepare us each for heaven. And take us there at last, we humbly pray. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. Hymn 893. Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verses 77 and 78. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 77 and 78. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. This prophecy of Zacharias, speaking of those things that the Lord would have and enable his own son John to do, and also speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, this coming of the Messiah. And thou, child, shalt be called a prophet of the highest, speaking of John, his own son. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge, this preaching of the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is, by the grace of God, called to preach the salvation, the Lord's dear children, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. But you know, though John would go and preach, he couldn't give that knowledge. What does Zacharias mean then, to give knowledge? Well, he's to preach, he's to speak. He's to speak the good words of God. He's to speak those things that the Lord directs him to speak. But the actual giving of knowledge, the bringing about of the opening of the eyes of the blind, the opening of the ears of the deaf, the opening of the heart to receive the preached word, it's not down to John and John's skill as a minister and the particular words he uses, but it's the operation of the Holy Spirit to apply that word with power, because it's just words, except the Lord seal it into the heart to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Oh, to point out this way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is the bringing in of the gospel dispensation. This is the putting away the end of the old dispensation. There's a new and living way. And John, this commission given to him to preach, to do the work of an evangelist, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to announce the coming of the Messiah, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways in the strength of the Lord, under his divine influence, the Lord working with him, confirming the word with signs following, baptizing and preaching this remission of sins, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Oh, this promised Messiah, whom the children of Israel have waited for. Oh, it is now the set time. It is now the glad hour. The coming of the Messiah is now here. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. There's a few things here. There's to be knowledge given. You know, if you and I are ever to profit under the preaching of the gospel, if we're ever to hear for the good of our never-dying souls, oh, there must be a knowledge given. Wisdom. The wisdom of God. And we need teaching. We need his instruction. Oh, we started, didn't we, our first hymn. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct? You see, you and I are completely untaught by nature. We are like little children, babes. We know nothing. And except the Lord open our understanding, then the preaching of the gospel will be, no matter how simply that the minister will preach it, it will go right over our head. It will go in one ear and out the other, except the Lord give us this knowledge. Oh, and what is the knowledge that we need if we're to hear to profit of our souls? It's a knowledge of ourselves as sinners before him. It's a knowledge that we are sinners. That there's the knowledge that we're not right and not ready. But it doesn't always come in a set order. But every living soul at some point will be taught their sins, whether they feel the love of Christ first and then are shown their sins, or whether they're brought to feel their sins first and flee for refuge. Oh, that none of the Lord's dear children will pass through this life and not feel that they're a sinner. Oh, we've got to be taught this. You know, every one of us in this chapel this morning are sinners. I wonder how many of us really understand it. I don't just mean in the head knowledge of it. You've all sat here, many of you, for many years. Some of you right from children, right from babes. But have we the understanding, the knowledge that we're sinners? And I mean in our hearts, not just our minds. Oh, you're shown by the grace of God that you're a sinner and the needs of a sinner. And what are the needs of a sinner? You know, the Lord shows his people their sins. It's that good work that he begins in their hearts. And it's for one intent and one alone, that they may flee to him. They may see the danger and flee for refuge, that they may feel their sins in their hearts. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not right. I'm not ready. And if I'm called in this state to thy judgment seat, oh, where will I be? What can I say? What will I do to give knowledge? You see, to be given a knowledge of salvation, to be given knowledge of a hiding place, a refuge, a remedy, a cure, you must know first the malady. You must know first what you're fleeing from. You can't flee for refuge. If you've got nothing you feel to need the refuge for, if you don't see any danger, why would you flee? If you don't feel the sickness, why would you see a blessed attraction and need in the medicine? There's got to be this beginning. You know, we've got some beautiful words in God's word, haven't we? Listen to this in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Paul writes, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful word. We have doctrine here. This is our foundation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then, After this statement, he opens it up. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you have this beautiful doctrine, the foundation of our hope, that every single soul that is brought to call upon his name for salvation shall be saved. There's nothing contradicting our articles of faith here at all. This isn't universal salvation. This is fact. This is doctrine. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call? How can you call? How could I call upon him savingly, feelingly, needing as a sinner? How could I except I believe? Except the Lord begin that work of grace. Except he calls me. Except he teach me my need. Oh, there's a sweet promise here. You know, what a net is cast. How many of us slip through it? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see, it comes right down to these things being out of ourselves and all in him. Oh, but friends, coming back to our text, this knowledge of salvation, you know, has the Lord begun in your heart and mind? Has he begun to draw us away from the things of this life? Has he truly begun to make himself precious? Has he begun to show you your needs as a sinner in the light of eternity? Has he begun to open your eyes to see the danger, to see a never-ending eternity, and that you're not right and not ready? Has he begun to teach you a knowledge of himself? The Lord Jesus Christ himself, the hope for needy sinners? Has he begun to make himself precious to you in the want of him, in the need of him? Maybe not in the receiving of him, of the entering into his promises, but in the want of them, in the need of them as you're living your life day by day, hour by hour, getting nearer to that day. Oh, is he beginning to make himself the one thing needful? Is he taking those idols from you? Is he stripping them from you one by one? And some of them need wrenching from us. Oh, but, you know, if he's to be the altogether lovely one, oh, if he's to be the one thing needful in your life, you've got to, there will be a losing of the attraction of those things of this world. You know, he draws his people out and away from the things of this life. He sets their affections away from these things and on himself. And has he begun it? Oh, you say, if only he'd complete it. Oh, I feel the pull of the world. I feel the tussle. I feel the struggle. Oh, there's this idol, there's this thing in my life. I can't be separated from it that easily. I feel it pulling, I feel it tugging. Oh, are you looking to him? Do it, Lord. Seems impossible. Oh, you can't manage it yourself. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, then, Lord, give me this knowledge. Knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Oh, then, convinced of a sinner, as a sinner, fleeing for refuge. But you can't be satisfied there, can you? Can you rest there? Can you live your days as a seeker? Can you live your days not tasting and handling and feeling the cure, the malady? You know, if the Lord's given you that longing after him, there's an aching void that the world can't fill. You say, I can't live here. I can't live all my days in this state. I must be a finder. I can't live, oh, sweet promise that it is that seekers shall be finders. I want to be a finder. Oh, a lovely bench along the way to rest on, it might be, to know that I'm on. Oh, I feel to be a little persuaded that that work has begun, but I want to see it finished. Oh, I want to see it in. I want to be found in him. I want to be in the sheepfold. Oh, we're promised that the Lord will open when those that knock on that door. But I want to be in the fold. Can't rest outside. Oh, I must find peace. I must find rest. I need that liberty. Oh, I need that peace that passeth all understanding. And what is it? What will do it for you, dear tempted burdened soul this morning? The remission of your sin. You know, you've got some burdens this morning. Have any of you got that burden, guilt, the iniquity of your sins, the exceeding sinfulness of them, like a mountain rising? You've got many burdens. You've got tomorrow, next week, and providential things. Oh, but this is one great looming burden upon you. Oh, and I long to feel that sense of sins forgiven. Peace with God. Oh, to get to be brought to the foot of the cross, to know that burden rolling away, to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to view him whom I have pierced. Not they, me. This personal thing, this personal interest, a personal knowledge. Oh, he can give it, friends. Oh, beloved friends, he can. He can give it in a moment. One word from his lips. One word from his word sealed in power into your heart. Oh, you'll be like Hannah, set from the dunghill, set among princes. Oh, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, through the tender mercy of our God. You see, John's preaching of the gospel, the success, the spiritual profit of it, it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. It centres there. And it's in the hands of the Holy Spirit to bring about the application of it and sealing it into the hearts. The love of God shed abroad in their hearts. The love of the Father. And it's through the tender mercies of our God. You know, if you and I have to ever receive the smallest of blessings, it's through the tender mercy of God. Providentially. Answers to prayer, helps along the way, doors opening, doors closed, the direction in your life, it's all through the tender mercy of our God. Oh, but how much more the soul feels it when his sins, he feels them blotted away as a thick cloud. He feels a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ given to him. Through the tender mercy of our God. And then Zacharias speaks of whom his own son John is going before. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. You see, that the beloved Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he visited us. mankind here upon earth, the Word made flesh, dwelt amongst us. Emmanuel, God with us. The day spring on high hath visited us. You know, this was the dawning of a new morning. The Son of Righteousness, it was arising with healing in his wings. The glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel day was dawning. The day spring from on high, the Lord Jesus Christ himself has visited us. Well, he has. We look back and see and remember, particularly this season in which we're entering. We look and remember this visit, because it was a visit, wasn't it? He was here for a set time, and when his work was done, he was taken up, ascended into heaven, and now sitting at the Father's right hand, entered into his glory, in all his majesty, triumphant, victorious. But it was a visit, bodily visit here upon earth. The Word made flesh, the eternal Son of God, from eternal generation, he who has always been, assumed a human body and soul in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We read it this morning, that holy thing. You know, that the Word we read from the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Word became flesh, made flesh, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. This day spring from on high hath visited us. Are you thankful? Are you grateful at this time of year? You know, it's a sweet thing to enter into, to the things that were done at Bethlehem. You know, no Bethlehem, there's no Calvary. No birth at Bethlehem of our Lord Jesus. There's no sin offering for the Lord's dear children. There's no way of escape. There's no fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And what faith. And it is given to the Lord's dear children. What faith it is to view that dear babe at Bethlehem. And see your everlasting salvation there. You fix your hopes on him, that dear babe at Bethlehem. Almighty God. The mystery of it, but faith given. The day spring from on high hath visited us. Well, we know it, don't we? He's visited this earth, lived a life for his people. But has he? This is the point this morning. Has he visited you? And has he visited me? He's visited us. Speaking of the world. And he's visited us, speaking of the Lord's dear children. But has he visited you? And has he visited me? And is your heart this morning, is it like the hymn, visit then this soul of mine? Is that your desire this morning? 726, I think, the hymn. Day spring from on high appear, day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see, till they inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. And is this where you are this morning? Visit then this soul of mine. Pierce the gloom of sin and grief. Oh, we wait a visit, Lord, from thee. You know, that will do it this morning. Sin and grief and woe, spiritual trouble. What will pierce the gloom? What will lift the drooping head? What will lift you up this morning? The day spring from on high, visiting you. The sun of righteousness arising, shining through the cloud, piercing through the gloom, warming your heart. Oh, visit then, this soul of mine. Lord, thou hast visited thy children. Thou art still visiting thy children, even in 2016. Oh, but do not pass me by. I see the work of grace going on here and there. I'm thankful for it. I'm grateful for it. I'm encouraged by it. Oh, but there's this feeling in my heart. And it's jealousy, Lord. Thou art blessing, remember me. Thou art favouring thy people, favour me. Visit me, shine into my heart, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Oh, then are you seeking that first visit? Oh, Lord, let me feel the tokens of thy love. Apply the blood, lead me to Calvary, visit me with thy salvation. It's to give a knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Oh, then, O Lord, remember me with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me. You know, this is personal. The Lord Jesus, we read, he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God. To be called the sons of God. This visit of the Lord Jesus. You know, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But there were those that received him. You know, you don't always like that expression, receiving. Some people say, well, it implies you've got to do something to receive him, but you don't. If you're receiving a gift, it's freely given. You've got to be a partaker. This is the point. Have you and I received something? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Oh, if you and I have ever felt a visit, if you've ever had your heart touched, if you've ever been drawn out after him, you've been visited by the day spring from on high. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of all united in that work in your heart, you've had a visit. You've been given a token. You've received something. Well, you may have lost the feeling of it now. Oh, but is your heart now saying, visit again this soul of mine? Because the Lord's dear children, they can't rest on just one visit. And nor will he have them rest. He'll have them continually seeking after them. Their souls must be kept alive. And they can't do it themselves. And there's this continual feeding that they need. There's a continual hungering in their hearts. won't always be a time of filling and feeding and drinking. There may be many days of hungering and thirsting. But blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What a promise. Oh, then you souls here this morning, saying in your heart, Lord, visit me. Lord, shine into my heart. Lord, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Make room. There is room in my heart for thee. That you've been visited. You've had a touch along the way. Oh, but seek the Lord will continue. Oh, seek the Lord will grant you. You know, we won't rest, will we? In the cloud, with the desire in our hearts to feel the sunshine. When can we rest? Resting in his love. A sense of it in our hearts. Feeling his love in our hearts swelling up. Feeling that strengthening from his beams of rays of light, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Ruth, when she went gleaning in that field, she had that desire. Let me now go to the field, glean ears of corn, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You see, if you're to glean and I'm to glean, if we're to be a partaker, if we're to be a receiver, we must find grace in his sight. And she knew it. You know, the more gleaners in the field, in a natural sense, not in a spiritual sense, it doesn't matter, but in this natural sense, Ruth's fear, she's venturing. She's not like unto the handmaidens. She's a stranger in a strange land. Surely the other gleaners will rebuff me and throw me out of the field. The more gleaners, the less there is to glean. Why would they accept me? Oh, if I'm to get anything out of today's labours. And it's back-breaking work. And she's got nothing. She's gone out the house empty. She must have something. She's going to die unless she eats. Oh, she needs. She must venture. But she knows, oh, she's got to find grace. Let me now go to the field, glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Well, she found grace. Her hap was to light upon a field owned by Boaz. What a wonderful thing if your hap and mine is to be brought into that gospel field of a greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, who sends none empty away, who lovingly lets down handfuls of purpose. And this will be the effect when you go home with your ears of corn, with the gleanings of the day. You'll say, oh, then she said, let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto thy handmaidens. You know, she found favour in his sight. Oh, she went into his field. You know, she went into that field as a poor gleaner, bent double, down on her knees, back-breaking work. She owned that field, you know. She did. She didn't know it. She went in that field. Will I find grace? She was an owner of it. It was to be hers. Yes, she would be married to Boaz, and that field would be hers. Can you believe it? Oh, you say this morning, I'm into the house of God. I'm bent double as a sinner. I can barely look up. I can't cast so much my eyes unto heaven. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And all those gleaning in the gospel field of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking their portion there, in their earnest only desire to find it there. You know, they're heirs of that field. That field will be theirs one day. Oh, the thoughts, you couldn't lift your thoughts that high, could you? The best you could hope for is to take a few ears of corn home. Oh, the Lord bring you into a knowledge that you're married to him. You're his beloved bride. Oh, to know then, you've gone from your knees in the field to be set among princes, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Oh, this day spring, the effect of it, the visits from him, the knowledge of him. Oh, the blessings received through him and by him. Oh, how he can take a poor broken-hearted sinner, bind up his wounds, put a royal robe on him, a ring on his finger, and bring him to feel to be a son of God. Oh, this mercy, through the tender mercy of God. That's the receiving of it. Mercy. Mercy of God. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £760, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And Mr. Izzard will, God willing, preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. There will be a church meeting, God willing, on Monday the 12th of December, and a prayer meeting for the members on the coming Friday evening, the 9th of December. Let us close with hymn 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? Hymn 585.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.